Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett, and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I am glad that you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. This program this morning has been sponsored by Ellard and Catherine Perry. You people have partnered with me in the gospel in many different ways. Thank you for sponsoring this program and partnering in this way. This morning we're going to look at Exodus 13 and 14. And I want to talk to you about when God provides. This morning, as we look at when God provides, I have been fortunate enough to see his provision in so many different ways over so many different years. I remember early in ministry, I was questioning whether or not I was called to ministry and whether I should stay in ministry. And one of the old saints of the church came up to me with a gift, and she said, "God's laid it on my heart to give you this gift. It was a sign at the right time that God was not finished with me yet." There have been many times that God has provided for me. Oftentimes, the provision came just in time. I know that some of you have experienced the provision of God. And after who he is, that is who God is. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I know that about God, and many of you know that about God. You know that God is a God who provides, and yet so often we worry about things we don't have. Have you ever been there? You pray for God to provide. You hope that God will provide, but you worry about whether or not he's going to come through. It's in those times that it's helpful to know the ways of God. I want to take you to the book of Exodus. Exodus tells the story of how God leads his people out of Egypt to the promised land. And their journey often reflects our spiritual journey. The way God worked with his people shows us a little of who he is and often how he works with us. And when we take a look at the people of God, we see a little of who we are. And so this morning we're going to take a look at Exodus, and we're going to look at Exodus 16, actually. And when it comes to this story, it's helpful to remember that God's people, when they lived in Egypt, they were agriculturally based. If you read the text closely, you can see that they had their own animals and their own lands. They were slaves, and they built monuments for Pharaoh, for sure, but they were also farmers. I grew up on a farm. I know a little bit about farming. One of the things that you learn as a farmer is that there's a right time for everything, and you need to plan ahead. You know, there's a season for planting and a season for growing and a season for harvesting. If you plant when you should be harvesting, you're probably not going to get a harvest. You also learn that planning ahead is important. It can't always be harvest time. So when you harvest, you need to store your harvest so that you can have something to eat when it's not harvest time. So you collect a year's worth of grain and you store it. You can dry the fruit, or since they didn't have freezers, they probably salted the meat. You work now so that you have something to eat in the future. You know, in our supermarket culture, we often forget how these things work. Someone else harvests and stores, and we just go to the store and buy what we need when we need it. But if you're living off the land, life is quite different. You learn to prepare for tomorrow. Now, as we get to Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 tells us that the people of God had been on the road for about a month. And in that month, they had eaten most of their reserves. The people of God are getting hungry. In fact, they're getting really hungry. Exodus 16, verse 2 records, "The whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. Now, if you know the story, you know that God is going to feed them something called manna. Manna is a bread-like substance. It tastes like coriander seed and honey. God will shower this manna down every day. But here's what I want you to note. The people of God have been on the road for a month before the manna starts. See, God's provision doesn't start until his people are all out of their own provision. It wasn't until the people came to the end of their own resources that they were able to access the resources of God. I've noticed this to be true time after time. Often it's not until we get to the point where God is all we have that we find that God is all we need. And there's nothing wrong with an agricultural lifestyle where you store up for a time in the future. Jesus was careful to explain that your faith should not rest on what you have stored up. And he was careful to point out that if you sacrifice your soul always to be getting more and more, then you have a problem. But properly handled, there is nothing wrong with storing for the future. But in some ways, what you have stored up is God's provision for you. But sometimes life happens. Sometimes we get on the road of life and things don't turn out like we expect that they would. And it's not until you come to the end of your resources that you will experience the supernatural provision of God. Now, I recognize that when we talk about God's providing, our minds usually turn to financial things. And I know that there are some of you who need God to come through financially in the next little while. And I trust that you'll find that God is all you need. Other parts of the world seem to learn this lesson a lot faster than we do. I've traveled in parts of the world where there is no social safety net. People come to the end of themselves a lot faster. There is a reason why faith often is bigger in other countries. When God is all you have, you find out that he is all you need. We don't come to the end of ourselves here quickly. But it's my experience that there are things other than finances where we need God's provision. We live in a world where many people experience loneliness. We live in a world where many people experience extreme grief. We live in a world where people go through trauma. We live in a world where people get bad news from doctors. We live in a world where people experience relational pain and hurt. And in all of those places, we need God to provide. In those places, we need God to come through. In those places, we'll get to the end of ourselves, and we need God to come through on our behalf. But often God does not provide until we run out of our own provision. He lets us go our own way, try our own thing, do all that we can. And then when we get to the end of ourselves, he does what we cannot do. When I'm in those situations, I wish that God didn't wait to the last minute, but that seems to be his way. Part of the spiritual journey is to learn to put our faith in his provision rather than our provisions. Part of our spiritual journey is to learn to put our faith in God's character rather than our own ingenuity. Often God does not provide until we run out of our own provisions. We're going to take some time and reflect on that as we listen to the Toronto Mass Choir as they sing Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides.
Hallelujah! Our God is great, amen! We are here to celebrate the goodness of our God. He is our Jehovah Jireh tonight. He is your provider. He is our peace. He is our strength and our joy. Come on, choir, let's sing it. Hey, yes.
You placed the clouds in the sky. You told the sun when to rise. All of creation declares that you are King, righteous ruler. You made the land and the sea. Yes, you still live inside of me.
Oh, my Father.
My Father, you're everything.
healing, your joy, your strength, your faith, your life, my provider.
Come. My provider.
Oh, Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
Awesome healer.
Your healer tonight.
The text. Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much as food as they need for that day. I'll test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual." So God tells Moses, I'm going to provide for my people, but there's going to be a test built into the provision. Now, in our world, a test is given so that the instructor knows how much a student knows. But what if the instructor already knows how much the student knows? Then what's the purpose of a test? In that case, a test is given so that the student knows how much the student knows. God knows everything. He knows the level of our faith. He knows the level of the trust of his people. But he puts them to a test so that they will know how much they trust him. So God says, I'm going to give them enough food for each day. It's kind of like a buffet. You can take all that you can eat, but you can't take any home. Now remember, these people are farmers. They're used to storing up for what they need in the future. To live from day to day is a really stressful when your security has always been in what you have in your barns or what you have in your cupboards, what you have in your bank account. At least it's stressful until you learn to trust the person who is providing every day. You think that after a year or two in the wilderness, after God feeding them manna every day, that they were stressed out about whether there was going to be manna the next day? Of course not. After a while, they learn that God is a God who provides. But the process of learning, the process of understanding this, the process of growing our faith is sometimes stressful. So God says to them, gather what you need for each day. And before the Sabbath day, gather twice as much and so that you can rest on the Sabbath day. Verse 16, these are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up about 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the Lord of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. There are seasons in life where God allows you to get all of what you need, but no more than what you need. That doesn't happen in every season of life, but there are some times when it doesn't matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to get ahead. You have to trust God for today, and he's only going to give you enough for today. It was not God's intention to leave his people in the wilderness all their lives. They took the long way around. It was going to take them 3 years to get to the border of the Promised Land. But when they entered the Promised Land, they would no longer need manna. They could go back to agriculture. But in this period, God was helping his people to learn to trust him day by day. Not every period in your life will be about learning to trust God for his daily provision. But it is a lesson most of us must learn at some point in our spiritual journey. It's important to understand that this the lesson that when he teaches it, because he's going to build on this lesson. If they don't get it, they will tend to have to learn the same lesson over and over again. Of course, you know the story. The Israelites get to the edge of the Promised Land and would not go in because they thought the opposition was too strong. They didn't really learn the lesson that God was trying to teach them now. God will provide you what you need when you need it. God will provide the strength to meet their enemies. God would provide the victory, but they hadn't learned the lesson that God would provide. Because they didn't learn the lesson that they needed to learn, most of them lived their whole life living from hand to mouth rather than trusting God with the risks he was telling them to take. The idea that the God will provide what you need when you need it is not just an Old Testament idea. How did Jesus teach us how to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. The lesson from the manna was so important that Jesus included it in his prayer that the church often repeats. Jesus taught us to trust God for today. And there's often times where that is all you can do, trust God for today. There are times when God only provides for tomorrow, tomorrow. He provides for today, today. Give us this day our daily bread. He teaches us this lesson so that when you face the giants of life, you can trust God that he will provide in those times as well. Well, God gave his people a test. It was a test to show them their own heart. Verse 19, Moses tells them, do not keep anything until morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. By then it was full of maggots and it had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. There are some who couldn't overcome the tendency to store things up. So they tried to store up manna and it didn't work. It went bad. It smelled. It really smelled. The Lord was trying to teach his people to trust him daily. There were some people who were trying to take things into their own hands, and it didn't work. Here's the thing. When God is trying to teach you something, it's really helpful to learn what he's trying to teach you. The only way to do that is to be obedient to what you know. They knew that they were to gather enough for today, but not for tomorrow. But some of them went ahead and gathered for tomorrow anyways. They were disobedient. Moses was really angry with the people who tried to store up manna for the next day. It doesn't say anything about God's emotions. Moses' emotions and God's emotions are not the same thing. I think God was quite satisfied with the natural consequences of their actions. It smelled. There was maggots. They had to clean it up. God is a teacher. He is patient, except, it seems, with stubbornness. God is trying to teach his people to trust him. He is trying to teach his people to follow him. He is trying to teach his people his ways. God's not interested in giving his people rules for rule's sake. What he is trying to do is to teach them the lessons that they need to know to be able to live well, to teach them the lessons that they need to know to be able to face the future well, to teach them the lessons that they need to know to be able to walk where he calls them well. The story goes on in Exodus 16, verse 21. After this, the people gathered food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. He told them, "This is what the Lord commands. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow." So they put some aside until tomorrow, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food was wholesome and good, without maggots or odor. Moses said, "Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord." Not only did God want to teach them that he would provide, he wanted to teach them how to really live. So here God is teaching them to take one day out of 7 off. He didn't do that for his good. He was doing it for their good. He knew that a day's rest every week is what we need to function well. Lessons of the provision of God is almost always accompanied with learning God's ways to live. Here's what I've noticed. If you're in one of those seasons where God is giving you just what you need and no more than you need, then there's almost always a parallel lesson that he wants to teach you. Some of you are university students and are learning that God will provide, but you have to learn to manage your money. Some of you have learned that the God gives you enough time to do what he's called you to do, but he's teaching you about managing your time and your energy. Some of you have learned that God will provide the peace that you need, but you also need to find a rhythm in life to live well in this world. Almost every time God teaches you about provision, he will teach you about something else as well. There are some of you who are listening that God wants to teach you about trusting his provision. I know that it's nerve-wracking. It is, at least until you learn to trust him. There are some of you who have learned to trust him with parts of your lives, but not others. And God wants to teach you to trust him in all parts of your life. Because when you face the Giants down the road, it's not good enough just to be able to trust him for manna. You need to be able to trust him with the provisions to beat the Giants. There are some of you today who are feeling like you're being tested. This is not about what God needs to know about you. It's about what you need to know about yourself. Learn about yourself and then turn that over to God. See what God wants to do in your life until he brings it all together and he makes you into a person of faith, a person who is willing to walk well in the wilderness trusting God, a person who is able to lean day by day on God, a person who understands what it means to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and lives out of that way. God may lead you into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where that is not what you have to do day by day. But if you're in that season of life, learn the lesson well. Learn to trust God well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for how you are faithful. Lord, how you are always faithful. Thank you that you come through for us. But Lord, help us to learn to trust in you. Help us to learn to walk with you well. Help us to put our faith in you. Lord, I pray that for the people listening to me today, that you would help their faith to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm so thankful that you've tuned in to listen to Good News in the Morning. If it's been a factor in your spiritual life, I would love to hear your stories. That would really encourage us. You can contact us by email or Twitter via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. This program has been sponsored by Ellard and Catherine Perry. You people have partnered with me in the gospel. Thank you for partnering with me again. Thank you for sponsoring the program in this way. And thank you, all of you, for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help us financially, we would really appreciate it. You can make checks payable to Good News in the Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May his Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. Let's go out by listening to a contemplative song, "Be Still My Soul," and what a friend we have in Jesus.
Be still my soul. The Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. Thank you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFR.